95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Welcome to Her Story. I'm your host, Kathy Romano. So each year, I do this holiday activity list. And this year, I did my top 10 suggestions on different activities that you can take the kids to and you can participate in. On that list this year was the Holiday Trees exhibit at the Bucks County Visitor Center. It's a display of 18 Christmas trees, and it's free to attend. But what makes this exhibit so special is the designer and decorator. Colleen Christian Burke is a Bucks County native who led the annual White House Christmas decorating efforts under President Obama, and Colleen is here today to tell us her story. Hi, Colleen.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for coming. So I'm also from Bucks County.
I know. You're from Levittown, right?
Yes.
I know. My dad grew up in Levittown. So.
Okay, which section?
Apple Tree.
He grew up in Apple Tree.
Yeah,
okay,
Apple
I was
Tree.
In Elderberry. And okay. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Washington Crossing.
Growing up, were you into decorating and designing?
It was actually my mother's thing. So I really learned from my mom how to do a Christmas celebration. And it wasn't until I actually had my own children that I really made it my thing, because I was trying to recreate what my mother did.
That makes sense. I'm also big with decorating, and I just love it. I love the holiday. I love decorating. Whether it's for the holiday season or outside of the holiday. And I think that you just kind of described me, too. My mom was great at the Christmas tree as well. And I kind of did. I would follow what she did. I remember getting the same colors as she did when I first started buying Christmas decorations. And then after my son, now it kind of has changed and I'm kind of doing my own thing with my own traditions. And everyone in my family thinks I'm nuts, but I have.
You might be.
No, I have bins of Christmas tree decorations downstairs, and they're color coordinated based on the year. I switch it up and I'll bring up the red bin with the gold bin, or I'll do the silver bin with the white bin. And I have different colored decorations.
So that's what is so much fun. So I do think tradition is very important, and especially for children. They like when they see like really what they consider special things come out. But then you can really be creative and mix it up and just keep it really interesting and fun for your family. And then I'm so lucky I get to do it like in big public spaces. So the idea of reinventing things and keeping people interested is always a challenge. And it's just something I really love to do.
Did you go to school for this?
I did not. I joke that I'm a decorator of the people, self-taught and really taught through what I saw my mom do. And then before I had my children, I was a TV producer. And so I like to style sets and shots and kind of compose things. And then I brought that artistic eye to my decorating. Like I know what'll pop on camera, what'll pop in like a magazine article or on television. And so I use some of that insight when I'm also designing.
TV producer, anything that we would know?
Couple shows. I worked on Access Hollywood. I met my husband at Inside Edition. I worked for CBS for a while. So lots of fun entertainment shows.
Did you move away from the area for a while?
I did. I lived in Los Angeles for a while. I lived in New York City and always had roots here because my parents were here and my siblings were here. But really, I think it's 5 years now that I'm back. And so it's amazing. Bucks County is so wonderful and alive, but I kind of like you can slide right back in because some things stay the same.
You had the honor of heading the White House holiday decorations under President Obama. Now, I would imagine you worked with the First Lady most of the time?
So the way it's set up, you actually work through the social secretary's office. I like to say that the First Lady is the commander-in-chief of Christmas. It's Mrs. Obama's vision. I also had the honor of working as a volunteer under Laura Bush. And so they set the scene, what they want the American people to experience, and then we execute it. And that was the thing that was most shocking to me, that the First Ladies were so hands-on and what they wanted to create for the American people. And it's definitely magical because it's at the White House, but it's also usually their intention that it be accessible. So whatever we're doing at the White House, they want the average American to be able to recreate in their home if they want to.
So it's not so out of the ordinary that somebody would say, oh my goodness, like, how did they do that? It's something that we could do in our house if we wanted to.
Parts of it. So it's kind of like a mixed bag because, you know, the White House will have like 57 trees and they'll be like 20 feet tall or 15 feet tall. So the sheer size and magnitude of everything at the White House, obviously we can't do in our own homes. But there are these little touches, and at the White House, when we're designing, we call them the showstoppers. It's what is supposed to catch your eye in each room or each vignette. And those are the things that you should be able to maybe take away into your own home. The other thing that First Ladies love to do, and Mrs. Obama and Mrs. Bush love to do this, was highlight different artists across America. And so some of those works are really spectacular. And unless you're artistically inclined, you would not be able to recreate them, but you can certainly, you know, admire them and enjoy them.
You talk about the amount of Christmas trees in the White House. And I read in your book that there was an interview done with Michelle Obama, and they asked her and her two daughters how many Christmas trees were in the White House. And it was kind of a collective answer. And they were talking about it, and they couldn't quite remember exactly how many were there.
Because it's so crazy. Like, once you get past a certain number, like, you really can.
You don't know.
You don't know. But what's standard at the White House is the blue room tree is always the official tree. And that's the one that usually in some way honors America or our military. And that one is 18 feet tall. They take a chandelier down. You know, they move out all the furniture to bring that tree in. And then the East Room is the party room. And that room will always have four 15-foot trees. So these are massive. So those are the five massive trees. And then you get the smaller ones that might only be 12 feet tall or 10 feet tall.
Meanwhile, still big.
Exactly. Really, really big. So, and then different First Ladies have different signature styles, but Mrs. Obama really liked to group trees together to kind of make almost like a forest kind of feel. And that's what I actually did at the Visitor Center also. I kind of copied her style in that way. Also at the Visitor Center, the First Ladies love a snowy white Christmas. They've all done it in different ways using different materials. Some of them use cotton bunting for snows. Nancy Reagan used baby's breath all over the trees to make it look like snow. So what I did at the Visitor Center is we actually brought in some white feather boas.
Oh,
and
I love that.
And that's how we connected all of the 18 trees that are there. So we tried to create a snowy feel at the Visitor Center that you might experience if you were lucky enough to go to the White House.
How did you get the job on the decorating team at the White House?
It's kind of a long and winding story, which if you would have asked me, you know, or if you would have told me you're going to end up decorating at the White House, I would have been like, yeah, right, sure. What happened was I was a TV producer. I retired from TV producing when my children were born because I didn't want to travel. And I started a home decorating business. I started decorating other people's homes at Christmas, and I did mostly holiday decorating. And one day I was watching HGTV Goes to the White House at Christmas, which I love. It's like one of my favorite holiday programs. And I saw all the production people in the show. And I thought with my production background, maybe I could volunteer. And that was a complete dead end. So I really campaigned for the job. I wrote letters. I inquired. I asked people, like, how do you become part of the decorating team? And what I started doing was sending sketches of what I would do if I was kind of given free rein. And it was really more of a lark than anything else.
Who were you sending them to?
I was sending them to anyone who would accept them. So I probably sent them to, you know, certainly like the National Park Service, because I found out they kind of oversaw the whole thing. I sent them to the First Lady. Then I found out that the First Lady, you know, had a, you know, a social office under her, and I sent them to the social office. I even tried my own congressman. It was really more of a hobby than anything else, because I said it in front of my three children, who, if I tell them to pick up their room or put their dishes in the dishwasher, won't remember that. But if you say, oh, I'm going to go to the White House at Christmas, they won't let you forget it. So as the years kind of ticked by, they were like, hey, thought you were going to the White House. And I was like, well, I thought it was like a teachable moment. I'm like, see, you can work at something and not get it right away and not get it ever, but it's still worth trying to follow through on. So that's what I was doing. And so when I finally got a call in 2008 from a woman named Nancy Clark, who I knew at the time was the White House florist, I didn't actually think it was Nancy Clark. I thought it was like one of my sisters playing a joke on me, because it just seems so absurd. She said, hi, this is Nancy Clark. Mrs. Bush would like to extend an invitation for you to be part of the White House decorating team. And I was like, sure, it's Nancy Clark.
You said that?
Yeah. I said, sure, it's Nancy Clark. Oh, I'd love to be part of the team. And then like her responses they weren't matching up to the joking that was in my voice. And then I was like, oh my God, this is Nancy Clark. If you could see me, I'm like hyperventilating as we talk, even remembering how I behaved on that phone call. And turns out, lo and behold, it was Nancy Clark. And she told me that the Secret Service was going to be conducting a background check. So I immediately got off the phone and I called my husband and I said, if there's anything I need to know, you have to tell me now because I'm putting all this on a piece of paper and sending it to the Secret Service. We sailed through and I report it. I like to say I report it for duty the day after Thanksgiving in 2008. And that was my first experience. And it was just one of those things that makes your jaw drop. So we report it for work outside of the White House, like at a White House gate, but we didn't go into the White House at first. You board a bus and we went to what's called the warehouse. And I now know the warehouse is a holding facility for all the overflow decorating items for the White House. Like you go there, there's chandeliers, there's some artwork that's Easter decor, the 4th of July decorations, and of course, all the Christmas stuff. The warehouse is very, very top secret, kind of looks like an old boarded up industrial complex. And then once you're inside, it's clear that it's almost like a scene from National Treasure, the movie. It's just so amazing in the warehouse to see all of this historical stuff hidden away off site. And that's where you work and you pre-build everything and you get everything organized and you start really getting together the First Lady's vision so that we can then later move it all over to the White House.
Okay, so when you were in that warehouse,
yes.
Was Laura Bush there with you?
No, Laura Bush was not there. Nancy Clark, the florist, was there. And under Mrs. Bush, she was kind of helping get all the decorators organized. And the warehouse is really, really chilly. It's a big space. So if I can share with you, the garland at the White House is huge because the doorways, they're 20 feet high, you know, so like this is not small stuff you're working with. So you need space to pre-build everything. And we were making some topiaries for Mrs. Bush that year. I remember working on a tree skirt that was 20 feet in diameter. It was so big. And this tree skirt, that particular year, Mrs. Bush wanted to have a forest feel. And we were taking green moss and we were hot gluing it to this burlap tree skirt that was just absolutely huge. So I was really starting to get an idea of the scale at the White House, just how big it was. You work in the warehouse for two and a half days, which is not a lot of time to get everything ready for the White House.
That doesn't seem like a lot of time.
I say it's Christmas decorating on steroids because it is very, very fast paced from beginning to end. Because once you get to the White House, you also only have 2 days to install. And it's not 2 full days. It's not like you go there from, you know, 7 in the morning till 7 at night. It's kind of like an 8 to 3 window. When you're at the White House, if the president comes by or the first family, all work stops and you have to wait till the area is cleared again. So you have these little chunks of time to do an enormous amount of Christmas decorating.
So are you telling me that you decorated, or the team decorated, right, the White House in 4 days?
Right. So there's like 2.5 at the warehouse and then 2.5 in the White House. So it's like 5, but it's not 5 full days.
No.
It's like these little...
With interruptions.
With interruptions, yes, which makes it so much more exciting.
Was it a dream come true for you?
Oh, it's still like a pinch me moment. Now I'm very well known for doing this and I'm very, very blessed and I love to tell the story of it and people like it. So I talk about it a lot, but I still can't believe it. I mean, and I know it happened and I have photographs of it and all that kind of stuff. And I have all sorts of things that I learned there that I share with other people that they can like do in their own homes.
Did you eventually work with any of the first ladies?
Well, Laura Bush, the thing that really, really got me interested in first ladies and their own White House style was Laura Bush, because I was shocked that Mrs. Bush was on the floor with us. And she was actually putting ornaments on the tree and then stepping back and looking at it like you would in your own home. A funny story, we were making these snowy white trees. We got the instructions what we wanted to do, and we were working with cotton bunting that you buy at a craft store. And we fill the tree all up with it, and the first lady comes by, and it's very, very quiet. And then we get word through Nancy Clark. She says, it's not good. There's too much snow on the trees. And we're like, oh, no, well, we can, you know, we'll take it off. So then we start taking the snow off, and same thing happens. First lady comes back around again. It's very, very quiet. Word comes back that now there's too little snow on the tree. We're like, okay, is there any way you can just give us like a little bit more information, like what the first lady actually wants, like what her vision is? And this is what they told us. The first lady wants you to envision what it looks like in the forest. It's snowed and the whole forest is covered with snow. And then the temperature drops a little bit and there's a bit of a melt. And then everything, it's about 3 days after the snowfall and everything refreezes. That's the look you're going for. And I was just like, you guys are from Texas. I'm from Pennsylvania and Jersey and New York. And snow after 3 days on the ground is not what you want this White House to look like. So not only was it absurd that I was at the White House, but then some of the instruction was just, I just find that story so, so funny because the idea of like snow melting and then refreezing, and that's the look we're going for. But what I will say is, you know, we tinkered with it and the First Lady kept looking at it and we finally got it to where she was very, very happy. And she was right. And I stood back and looked at it. She really had an eye and she got us where we need it to be. And I just was always astounded that she cared that much because I kind of thought we weren't going to see her at all. And we saw her a lot. And that's what got me interested in other first ladies. And basically, I wanted to buy a book about what did Jackie Kennedy decorate like? What about Hillary Clinton? Did she care about the decorating? Like, what have the other first ladies done? And that's how I ended up writing a book about first ladies and their Christmas style.
Right, which we'll get into your book yep. because you couldn't find the book you were looking for, so you just wrote it.
Well, that's what people do, right? That old story.
But talk first about
Mrs. Obama. Okay,
yeah.
So Mrs. Obama had a little bit of a different style. Her style, she had a very, very specific idea of what she wanted, much different than Laura Bush's. She had causes that were very important to her heart, the military children, you know, service to our country, you know, some of the things that are just, you know, wonderful about America. And so once we knew what her style was and she signed off on everything, we were able to run with it. And she still came back and checked everything and made sure it was right. So this is how it kind of went down. We go to the warehouse and we have been given some instruction and some ideas of what Mrs. Obama would like. And we now have to create a basket for each room that will represent what's going to happen in the decorating. So you fill the basket with what the ribbon color will be in that room, what the filler ornaments will be, but what will be the special ornament, because each room needed to have a special ornament. And we had to do something like 35 or 40 baskets, and we had to do it with the Secret Service kind of around, and us, I think we had 2.5 hours to pull from everything they have in the warehouse, all the inventory they have. When I say it's like speed decorating, it really is because you have these kind of wild constraints that you wouldn't have in any other situation. And then what we did was we took the baskets to the White House and they need to be presented to the First Lady. And then she has to say thumbs up or thumbs down. And thankfully, she was very, very happy with all, but we got a little bit of feedback that particular year in the green room. We were kind of going for, we had like some Christmas critters that we were introducing. And the green room is a very, very elegant room. And the First Lady felt like that wasn't quite the right direction for the green room. And again, she was right. And so we took that element out and we introduced more of kind of a bounty or a floral motif that she then liked. And then once she signed off on all those baskets, and then we implemented and started taking what was in the basket and making it big enough to fill those trees that are 18
of
50.
Oh, so the basket was just an example. Here's what
exactly.
We're thinking. Oh, okay,
right.
Okay. Sorry,
so that's how it goes. Yeah, so they were tiny baskets to say, we got all your notes of what you wanted. This is what we interpreted them to be.
Oh, I should do that with all my decorations. I can make baskets and present the color combinations to my family and they can tell me which one they'd like for this year.
Then like 10 minutes to decide. So like the you can streamline the whole process. So then, right. So then once we have the basket, which maybe had, you know, 8 ornaments in it, now we need to turn that into 1,000 ornaments or 1,200 ornaments and really start building and making it come alive. We started the process getting communication through the communication office and through the First Lady's office in February. Probably the end of June, the baskets were presented and then we could start really building everything. So there's a lot that goes into it because the First Lady, ever since Jackie Kennedy, chooses a theme. So in February, themes start floating around. And that year, she actually ended up going with Winter Wonderland for Children. And so we were working off of a couple different scenarios because we had a couple of different themes floating around. And these themes are usually very close to what the First Lady holds important. So some other themes that Mrs. Obama had were also simple blessings, zeroing in on the reason for the season. One year it was rejoice and reflect and renew. So lots of times Mrs. Obama's themes had a more spiritual undertone. But what was fun about Winter Wonderland for Children, I actually think she was thinking about her own daughters getting older and some of the Christmases they had had together. And she was trying to capture that year the joy of Christmas for kids. And so we were able to have so much fun with it.
It sounds beautiful. All of it sounds so beautiful.
It really was. I mean, and it was the type of job from the second I had it, I was already missing it because I knew it wasn't going to go on forever.
It wasn't going to last
It was
forever.
Just so special. And Mrs. Obama was very democratic. Once you were a lead designer, many times you would then be retired so that someone else could then take on the position.
Oh,
so
okay.
I was 2014.
Talk about then your progression because you volunteered under Laura Bush.
So what happened was, somehow, someone gave Mrs. Obama my book. Whoever that person was, I am forever grateful.
So you wrote this book before you worked at the White House?
I went in 2008. When I came home and wanted to buy the book, couldn't. And so then I wrote the book. I started writing the book like almost as soon as I got home, like in 2009. It was published in 2011. And someone gave it to Mrs. Obama in 2011.
But Mrs. Obama's in this.
Right. Because she had had two Christmases before I got there. So that is not the complete Obama
okay.
administration.
Okay, okay, okay.
And my actual Christmas that I worked very closely with the Obamas on is not in the book.
Okay, I understand.
So we only had the first two to give you a taste of what Mrs. Obama was doing. Someone gave this book to Mrs. Obama, and Mrs. Obama wanted to do a retrospective of the first ladies and their style. I found myself in this little niche of being the person who knew all about that. So they were kind of calling me and consulting with me. And I said, look, you know, I don't have to be on the phone. I could just actually be right on site. And so they did bring me back. I consulted. Then in 2013, I was back as a part of the team. And then in 2014, I got a call asking if I would be interested in having my name put forth as a design partner for 2014. And it was, again, one of those crazy moments. It was almost like I was talking to Nancy Clark again, saying, oh, of course you can put my name in. Who wouldn't want their name to be put forward? So
is there one lead designer or is there a team of lead designers?
That year, it was myself. And then there were a level above me to Mrs. Obama. And then there were people below me. So that year, I would say I was working very, very closely with the liaison and it was only me.
Okay.
But I do want to be really, really clear that it is all the First Lady's vision. It's her design. It's her aesthetic. And we are really just making it come to life.
You make it come to life. That's exactly what I was going to say. So let's get into your book then. You talked a little bit about this and you were looking for a book similar to this, couldn't find it, so you decided to write it. I went through it before you came, and I'm obsessed. I love it.
Thank you.
It's so interesting to see the First Lady and all of them and what their style was and how the vision that they wanted in the White House during the holiday season. I just find it so interesting. I really enjoyed what I read, and I'm definitely going to read more.
Oh, well, thank you. So this is what really struck me when I started getting these pictures from the different presidential libraries was that the White House is really someone's home and that they were actually enjoying their whole Christmas experience there. So some of the first pictures that I got were from the Kennedy Library, and I actually called the librarian up and I said, listen, I think you sent me their personal pictures because I see John John and Caroline dressed up, reenacting the nativity for their parents.
That was one of the pictures that
caught
my eye.
Aren't they crazy?
Great
they like
pictures.
Suck you right in and like Jackie's smoking a cigarette off in the corner. I'm like,
yes.
I'm sure these aren't for public consumption. And the librarian said, in fact, they are. The families have donated them to be part of basically our collective American photo album. And I was just stunned. And so what I found then when I went to almost every other library, the same type of really personal pictures. And that was really, really fun for me because there's these, it's like the public celebrations, all the hoopla, and then the private celebrations. And I loved all of it. So, and it's also kind of a lifestyle book because there's recipes in there and there's party invitations, all the stuff that I love. I put in the book.
And stuff that you talked about before, too, decorations or ideas for you, for your tree in your home.
Right. And that you really can, if you wanted to introduce a little bit of Jackie Kennedy into your Christmas decorating, you can easily do it because she did something as simple as she took fabric and they wrapped jewelry boxes. I mean, they were empty, but they wrapped these little jewelry boxes and they hung them on the tree.
So it looked like presents
all
over the tree. All
over the tree.
Great.
And just like super fun, easy things like that that you might not have thought of. That's what I really love about the book, that it really put history in a totally different context for me. The Carters decorations were really kind of low-key and subdued. And they said the reason they consciously chose for them to be that way, and President Carter is the only president who was actually actively involved in the decorating, was because we had hostages in Iran. So they said, we can't have this big over-the-top celebration if we have Americans that are being held hostage. Oh, and wow. I just never thought about the hostage crisis in terms of Christmas. So it just kind of changed the way that I looked at history and just made it really much more human to me.
By the way, the book is titled Christmas with the First Ladies, The White House Decorating Tradition from Jacqueline Kennedy to Michelle Obama. And where can people get this book?
So at this point, probably Amazon is your best bet, Barnes & Noble. It is available. It's been out for a couple of years. It's gone into reprinting a couple of times. So it's definitely out there in the marketplace.
Yeah, it's a great book. I really am enjoying it. Now, you also won a pretty prestigious design industry award.
It was super crazy. I won an Icon Award. So I am a designer. I do interior design and I do big holiday installations and small holiday installations sometimes. What happened was I was doing a lot of book signings. I do a lot of public speaking, talking about the first ladies, telling stories about the first ladies. And I teamed up with a company that's actually has offices in Newtown called Fitz & Floyd. They're an international fine ceramics company. And we came up with the idea of doing a first ladies collection. So I have under my name, so it's Colleen Christian Burke, first ladies for Fitz & Floyd, cookie jars, cookie platters, ornaments for the tree, all in the very specific style of Jackie Kennedy and Nancy Reagan. I actually was honored by the Design Industry of America with an Icon Award, which is kind of like an Oscars in design and decorating.
That's so cool.
It was super, super crazy. It's like one of those, again, like a pinch me moment. I'll share a horrifying story with you. What really brought it down to earth was when they called my name out and I went up to get the award, I tripped on the way to the stage. On like a giant jumbotron, like a la Jennifer Lawrence. It was mortifying.
So first you mock Nancy Clark. Oh,
right,
sure.
Yeah. See, karma.
Then you trip on your way up to win the award.
Right. So I really am, you know, it's a comedy of errors. It was so horrifying. But I have to say what was really, really sweet. Like I lost sleep for like, I don't know, 2 weeks over. Like, how could I have fallen?
Over tripping?
I fell
to the ground?
Oh, yeah. I fell to the ground and did a whole, like, gymnast recovery with my hands in the air.
And with heels on?
Yeah, and then had to give a speech. Yeah. They called me the next week and said they measured the steps, and the top step was not the same distance as the three that led up to it.
So you were kind of in the pattern.
I was in the pattern, and then my heel caught, and I went down.
I
my knee was like all like a little bloody. It was ridiculous.
Was your family there?
My daughter witnessed the whole thing. And it's this big convention. So like you're in this big convention center for like the next couple of days and people were coming up to me and saying, if I ever fall, I want to fall just like you. And I was like, thank you.
That means it wasn't a little fall.
It was not a little fall.
Oh, my goodness.
So I really, I took design to new levels with that fall. And then you have to give an acceptance speech after you fall in front of everyone, you know. So it was just, and I've thought of like so many clever things I could have said but did not say.
In the moment after tumbling, you probably didn't have the most witty comments.
Right, I did not, but I made a lot of new friends. I can tell you that if you fall in front of hundreds of people, they tend to be very kind.
And they probably will always remember you.
Yes. I mean, strangers were walking up to me. As they were approaching, I knew it was coming because I fell in front of all of them.
Oh,
so keeps it very human, very real.
Now, what about the Trump administration? So did the Trump family invite you back to decorate?
So I have a conflict now because I have my line of ornaments and tableware. You can't be actively selling something and then be on the White House floor decorating.
Okay.
It's a conflict of interest. So I have not been back. And as long as I am partnered with Fitz & Floyd, I won't be working for anyone in the White House.
Okay, I understand.
But it's a great passion of mine. So of course, I'm looking at all the pictures. I'm paying attention to the themes that Mrs. Trump is picking. And this year, it's American Treasures, which a lot of these themes can be very similar. I mean, we've had themes now for like 60 years. So at one point, Hillary Clinton had holiday treasures at the White House, and this year it's American Treasure. So lots of times there's variations on theme that the first ladies kind of all choose from and pick from. This year, Mrs. Trump, her red trees are so controversial. You know, the ones I'm talking about,
yes.
The ones that are, there's 43 of them. And there's actually a really strong historical connection to do those trees, the way that they were done. They're made of cranberries. Cranberry decoration has been in the White House since Betty Ford. Starting with Betty Ford for about 30 some years, in the Red Room, they always had these two very classic cranberry trees, and they were about 2 feet tall. And when Mrs. Obama came in, she broke with tradition and said, no more cranberry trees. And those of us who follow White House decorating were like, oh, no more cranberry trees. And what Mrs. Obama did was a cranberry mantle, which was really, really stunning. And so what Mrs. Trump did with these cranberry trees downstairs in the corridor was she really took a traditional White House decoration and reinvented it. Did it in the way that a lot of things in the White House are done on a very large scale. I have not seen them in person. My guess is in person, they're probably spectacular. In all the internet pictures that you see of them, you can see why people are critical of them. They aren't what you might expect.
So if you could give one bit of decorating or holiday decorating advice to our listeners, what would it be? Inside our homes, obviously on a much smaller scale than the White House.
I do think it's really important to mix it up every year to keep it interesting for you and your family.
Right?
You are doing it so right. I'm so proud of you.
Yes.
Size. Think about different things on the White House. Like I've seen first ladies put unbelievable things on the trees. Like even Mrs. Carter at one point was hanging like actual miniature rocking chairs on the tree, but by miniature, I mean like 2 feet tall, you know, so you can put all sorts of different things on the trees. And that's why when we were designing the visitor center, the trees all represent different attractions in Bucks County. So you start to think, well, how do you put different things on the tree? The biggest thing people want to know is how do you attach them? And so you can put anything on a tree, basically using floral wire and scissors and plate holders. You can attach things and put things on a tree that you may not have thought of before. The other thing is, if you're working with a live tree and your tree may have holes or gaps, and no matter how you turn it, you still see those holes and gaps, you can use floral wire basically to tie up those branches and make a real tree absolutely look as perfect as an artificial tree.
Okay, here we are. I want to show you my Christmas tree.
I want to see it. I'll be brutal. No, I'm only kidding.
It's okay. I'm not disappointed in it. I really like it. But there is one thing that I wish that I had done.
Okay, let's see.
So here's my Christmas tree.
It's 360, right?
Yes.
You can walk all the way around.
All the way around.
Very, very nice.
Yes.
And you have it like equally weighted on every side, so
yes,
it's not going to fall. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Of course.
Okay.
Come on.
So what is bothering you about the tree?
I feel like I should have done a ribbon starting from the top, wrapping around. If you look at the top, I used a lot of sprays.
It's beautiful.
And different things from Michael's to kind of make it pop and sparkle and glimmer and all of that.
And you did a great job.
I thought with that, the ribbon would have been too much.
Mm-hmm.
But now that the tree is completely decorated, I feel like I wish I would have added the ribbon.
So what I think you can do with this tree, because I feel like you have a lot of personality and wrapping the ribbon like around in a circle might be like a little too traditional for this tree. I think you can still buy some wired ribbon. It has to be wired though. You can cut the ribbon and just have it vertically come down.
Oh, okay.
And so you want to take your ribbon,
so vertical,
right? And you're going to scrunch it a little bit. So mm-hmm. It's kind of like almost like that sugar candy effect.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And then just give yourself some fishtails at the end.
Uh-huh.
And they should all be around the same length, but that could be really, really pretty. And you could do it in gold, or what could be really fun is if you did it in burlap. It could make it feel a little bit more on trend this year.
I got you.
So,
I got you. Okay.
And
cool.
I think you could do that in under an hour. You could probably do it in under a half hour. But if you need to have the wire in the ribbon,
right,
or it'll
course.
Just fall flat.
Of course,
so.
Of course. And I've done
but
similar things in the past.
If you leave it like this, it's still beautiful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
so
it.
So I'm one of these ones, I put the tree up and I get just the lights on it. I'm like, oh, it's so pretty with the lights. It doesn't need anything else. And then I'll put the ribbon on. I'm like, oh, it's so pretty with the ribbon. It doesn't need anything else. And then 10,000 ornaments later, I'm like, it just needs a few more ornaments. So when we were decorating the visitor center, we had these amazing volunteers. The YMCA in Fairless Hills has a veterans program, and it's also in Newtown. Someone has created an endowment for our veterans that they can belong to the YMCA. Their membership is paid for. The catch is that the veterans have to then do some community service in some way, usually veterans related. But they came out and helped us at the visitor center to get all the ornaments on the trees.
Oh, how nice.
So there's a lot of trees. So I'm going around and I'm dispersing the ornaments, and This one fellow, he had been putting ornaments on for hours and he really thought he was finished. And he goes, that big bin isn't for me, is it? I'm like,
yes.
Oh, yeah. And there's a couple more behind this. So.
Well, you know what's funny? I sit down to watch TV or, you know, sit with my son. We play a game in the living room and I still haven't put my ornament boxes away.
Yes.
They're in the office. So as I'm sitting there, I see a spot. I'm like, oh no, that's way too bare. And I just quick run in and I grab
Isn't it crazy?
An ornament and I hang them. So, I mean, at this point, we're almost at Christmas, but
right.
I'm still hanging ornaments.
It's amazing that you can look at a tree and keep seeing empty spots, but I see them all the time. I'll walk in and they'll say, what do you think of the tree? And I'll say, it needs some more lights. And like, don't even say it. Because once you start putting your ornaments on, it's really hard to it's too late for the lights. I think your tree looks fabulous.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And if people want to come and see your trees, there's 18 of them at the Bucks County Visitors Center.
And the really fun thing, if you have kids, is that we have a little scavenger hunt. We hid a Bucky ornament. So Bucky is a deer that's the Bucks County mascot. And there is a Bucky ornament hidden on every tree. So it's fun for the little kids to come and try to find them. And then once they find them, they get a stamp and a candy cane.
I love that. That's
it's
a
sweet.
Great idea.
It's sweet.
The visitor center is open 7 days a week from 9 until 5 o'clock with extended Saturday hours until 8 p.m. And your trees will be on display until January 2nd.
And they're so much fun. So come see them.
And you can follow Colleen on Instagram at @bycolleen. It's 1L, C-O-L-E-E-N. And if you do go out to the Bucks County Visitor Center and you post pictures, you can always hashtag Kathy's holiday activities and also their hashtag, which is holidays in Bucksco. Colleen, thank you so much for coming by today.
My pleasure. Merry Christmas.
And don't forget about Colleen's book also, Christmas with the First Ladies, and she says you can get that on Amazon. Colleen Christian Burke's First Lady Collection by Fitz and Floyd can be found at Macy's, Bed Bath & Beyond, and Boscov's as well. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas Eve and a Merry Christmas. I'm Kathy Romano. I'll see you next year.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.